Morning. It is, as always, good to be together. Smiling faces down here. Let me go ahead and dismiss our youngest among us. You are dismissed, released, free to go to Children's Church. For the rest of us, I don't know how many of you maybe watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade this past Thursday. Oh, Harper. You want a hug, honey? No. I missed my opportunity. She wanted one, and then I was a little late to the game. I was on to Macy's Thanksgiving parade. Well, I'll give her hug later on. So did some of you watch Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Yeah, a number of you did. I am not much of a parade person. In fact, I don't know that I've ever sat and watched one, except this year it was an opportunity for me to sit with Brianna and really enjoy her enjoyment of the whole event, the whole experience. And so that was nice. And I really found myself kind of enjoying the balloons and the floats and the entertainers, the marching bands, all of it. I mean, it's pretty astounding kind of thing. I read somewhere that 8,000 people participate in this parade. Not the behind the scenes people, but 8,000 people in this parade. I also noticed that in many respects, although it is a Thanksgiving Day parade, it is very much about ushering in the Christmas season, the holiday season, and that was most evident with the commercials. In fact, one person described this event as a 3-hour commercial with commercial breaks in between. Somebody else described it as a 3-hour long advertisement. And so while Hallmark movies, they started their Christmas movies, Hallmark started their Christmas movies 2 months ago, back on October 1st, it's really the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade that really kind of ushers in, that brings us into the midst of this kind of holiday shop till you drop kind of extravaganza that is this season. And so with that, for many, and I would venture to say even some of us here in this room, Christmas really becomes almost like two realities. On the one hand, there is the joy and the wonder and the delight. And on the other hand is the weight, the stress, the anxiety. In fact, one study from the National Alliance on Mental Health said that 2 out of 3 people, 66%, 2 out of every 3 people experience a considerable increase in the feeling of loneliness. Nearly the same say that Christmas, it's all just too much pressure. 1 out of every 2 of us experience a great and deep level of sadness related to this season. And I venture to say it's not just for those out there, but it's for us in here as well. And that is why today I want to invite us just to kind of hit the pause button, kind of settle in a little bit and to breathe. We're in this kind of in between the Thanksgiving remembrances of last week, and thank you, Aaron, for leading us last week. We're in between the Thanksgiving remembrances and the beginning of Advent, which starts next Sunday. And so today I want to invite us into a place of kind of stillness together, a place to kind of reflect and to think about the importance of relationships, the importance of community, the significance of being a community together. And to get at that, I want us to turn this morning to Colossians in chapter 4. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 835 will be helpful. The words will be on the screen behind me. It's a passage I want to revisit, kind of as a frame to our time together. Colossians 4 and 7, Paul oftentimes in his letters, well, all of his letters, but at the end of his letters, and I think most notably in Colossians, he kind of dials into some of the relationships that he has. He names people and he speaks of those relationships. And Noting that here in Colossians, Paul, he prefaces that. Verse 2, we read, he writes, devote yourselves to prayer. Colossians 4 and 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, right? Paul says that in the midst of a community, this idea that of community and togetherness and the importance, the significance of our relationships, right? He says it is found really in the spirit of prayer. And then as we move through, we come to 4 and 7, where he writes, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. And so as we step into this scene for a moment, Paul, he's in Rome, he's in prison, he's under house arrest. Either way, he is in chains. And he's written this letter. He's shared his heart with this community. And that letter, in that day, had to be hand-delivered, right? He wasn't going to email it over. He wasn't going to Snapchat it or Facebook it or Instagram it or... Right? It had to be hand-delivered. And so we read here, Paul, it says, is sending Tychicus. He then adds to that, coming with him is this Onesimus. And so again, right, Paul, far away in chains. Then we can imagine Paul thinking, I need to get this letter. Who can I send? Right? Who will go for me? Who will go with the love and the concern that I have in my heart and bring that to this community? And as we read here for Paul, that is Tychicus. Right? Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you about me and our circumstances. And then we get this line. It says, that he may encourage your hearts. Noting that word encourage comes from parakaleo. It's this idea of to come alongside. It's this idea of to support, to comfort, this idea of to encourage. And I don't know about you, but maybe today, maybe this season, maybe you're in that place. Maybe as we kind of turn the page from Thanksgiving and moving into this season, maybe you're in that place where you need some encouragement, right? There's that difficulty, that struggle, that challenge, that conflict, whatever that might be. And maybe this morning you need a Tychicus in your life. You need someone to come along and offer support and comfort and encouragement. And if that is you today, I want to pray for you. You don't need to raise your hand, but I want to pray for you. If that's not you, maybe someone comes to mind. Maybe it's a family member, maybe a friend, maybe a neighbor, maybe someone who's just this time of season. Maybe the statistics aren't just the statistics, right? But they're personal, right? Maybe for you, maybe for someone that you know, the statistics aren't just statistics. It's the loneliness, the pressure, the sadness is very real. And so if that is you, I want to pray for you. If that's not you, maybe family, friend, neighbor, would you pray silently with me? God, we ask this morning as a community, as a gathering of your followers, we ask today for those who are feeling discouraged, maybe those for whom life in the midst of this coming season feels an extra bit heavy right now. We ask, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit, that you would support, comfort, to lift and to encourage, that we and they would know, would sense and know of your deep love. And for each one of us, would you also move in us, bring to our attention, bring to our hearts, our minds, those moments when you would have us encourage one another. Maybe through an act of sharing, maybe it's service, or even perhaps just sitting and listening together. May we be that, Lord, for one another. And so, Lord, be our encouragement today, this season, in us and through us. And may we then be an encouragement to one another. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul continues, he goes on, verse 10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So first we have Tychicus, and now we have Aristarchus, which are great names. If you've got kids or grandkids on the way, you might take that into consideration. It says he sends greetings, as does Mark, cousin of Barnabas. And then we get this kind of a note here. It says instructions have been received, and that if Mark arrives to the church, they are to welcome him. And so what is this about? And to kind of get the backstory, we're all about the backstory here. And so to get some of the backstory, Acts 15 and verse 36, words will be on the screen. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all of the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. And so Paul is wanting to do a reunion tour, right? He wants to go back and see all the familiar faces and places. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. So Paul and Mark here, right, are not on good terms. It says they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so here we have Paul and Barnabas having a sharp disagreement, right? They are at odds with one another, and yet underneath that, it is really Paul and Mark that are not at all on the same page. Which is fascinating, because then back here in Colossians, verse 10, 4 and 10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you greetings, as does his other fellow prisoner, John Mark. Meaning Paul and Mark have had some connection. They've had some face-to-face time. They've had some time of sharing and working through whatever those differences have been. Paul goes on, you have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. And I think what that tells us is that been a conversation, right? That disagreement, that conflict, that dispute, whatever that was, right? Forgiveness is possible. Reconciliation is possible. Right, whatever it is that's been going on, it's like saying, you know, this is not the end of the story, right? Forgiveness is possible, reconciliation is possible, and on some level here, Paul is willing to let go of his grudge, let go of his anger, his resentment, his bitterness. And so I wonder here, how about you and me? Right, as we enter into this season, you're experiencing a conflict, a disagreement. Maybe you like Paul and Mark, you're at odds in some way. And I think again here that Paul and Mark, right, that this disagreement they had, it's not the end of the story. Right? And the letting go of the anger and the resentment and the bitterness, it can happen. And so I don't know, maybe today that is you, maybe you're in that place. Maybe if it's not you, maybe you know of a family member, a friend, a neighbor who is kind of in the midst of that struggle. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we, as much as we all long for relationship with you and with others, relationships can be tough. We don't always see things the same way. We always don't always see eye to eye. And sometimes, Lord, even we say things that are hurtful or painful to others. And Lord, so for each one of us in need of a healing touch today, I pray for you to come into those tender spots. May your spirit of grace and love come in into that tender spot. May you bring peace and wholeness to our hearts and our minds. And may we, Lord, today, this season, be renewed, reborn, and that our relationships with others, with the other, even with self, would all be restored. Amen. Verse 11, we read Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. And then we get this, I think, really interesting line here in the midst of it. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. And I wonder, why did Paul write that? And I wonder, you know, Paul was Jewish. He was spending most of his time ministering to, preaching to those who were not non-Jew, to Gentiles, to the Greeks, to those who maybe didn't grow up with the same experience that he did, different than, other than a little bit. Those that didn't grow up maybe with Yahweh at the center. I mean, they believed in gods, but not Yahweh at the center. And so I imagine for Paul, in some ways, that feeling of being misunderstood, and maybe not only misunderstood, but then kind of that place of loneliness, that kind of place of isolation maybe a little bit. You know, our circumstances definitely are different, right? But two out of three people. And if we were to look around this room, and you were to look at three people, well, two of them, statistically speaking, are experiencing an increased amount, increased level of loneliness. And so, yes, our circumstances are different, but like Paul, we too experience that sort of loneliness. And in those times, like Paul says, we need someone to bring comfort, right? We need someone who will sit and who will listen, who will invite us in, who will connect. And I don't know if that's you this morning. I want to pray for you. If you're experiencing that sort of loneliness as we enter in the season. And if it's not you, again, family, friend, neighbor, we all know people that no doubt are experiencing this. And so if that is you, I want to pray for you. If not, then would you join me in prayer? God, for those of us who do feel alone, and I imagine we all do at times, maybe even isolated, misunderstood, we pray for your Spirit, Lord, to come right now, to bring comfort to those places of ache, those places of loneliness. We absolutely, Lord, need your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we ask that you would surround, embrace each one. And with that, God, maybe you're calling us to be an answer to the prayer. Maybe you're calling us to be that kind of people together, that we might be the body of Christ to one another, to the other. That we might, in this season, this year, that we might slow down. We might even pause and simply be with one another. To pause, to stop, to listen, to step together into that ache of the heart. This we pray. Amen. Epaphras, verse 12, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, he sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. And I wonder here, what if we knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt, somebody was praying for you like that? Somebody that was praying, wrestling in prayer. That phrase, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that word wrestling comes from the Greek word agonizomai. It's where we get the word agony. It's kind of the one, it's this kind of intense struggle. The idea of intense struggle against opposition. And maybe today that resonates with you. Maybe today, again, there's that thing that's going on. Whatever that might be, that situation, that challenge, and you're needing that kind of prayer. You're needing someone to come alongside and to agonizomai. Right? To enter into that space with you. Or maybe you're one that has been praying, has been agonizing, and you need someone to come alongside and join you in that. And so let's pray again together. God, we ask you for your strength. We ask for those who are wrestling in prayer, for those who carry the agony with them that comes with praying for others. God, that you would strengthen each one of us, that we might listen well to your promptings, to be faithful to pray. And for those, Lord, who are in that place of deep need, we pray for that one right now. And ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit to intercede where we know not what to pray. God, we ask you to pour out your Spirit. Call upon your people here, Lord, that we might wrestle for one another and be a people who are ever faithful to pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14, our dear friend Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, by the way, and also Luke's gospel, the doctor and Demas, they send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And I think about Nympha and the church in her house, because if we zoom in here for a little bit, we get the idea that this is a house church, right? Nympha has opened up her home. She has welcomed in these people. And I can imagine in part, and we don't really maybe know, but I can imagine Nympha, at least in part, would think, this is too much. I can't do this. Right? My house is too small. It's too much of a mess. Right? And I can't do this. And I, again, it's different circumstances, but and I don't know what it's like for you, but this time of year can be stressful. You know, decorating, not decorating, having people over, is it all okay? And I imagine that she feels that way and probably feels quite a bit over her head and overwhelmed. And this season certainly can feel overwhelming. And so, if today you feel a bit overwhelmed, if you feel like it's all a bit too much, let's pray. God, as we sang this morning, we ask that you would just simply come and be with us. Be with each one of us who are feeling that sort of uncertainty and insecurity, feeling overwhelmed by the reality of this season, the reality of a broken world. May we hear you, Lord, calling out to each one of us. And we ask, Lord, that you would come to us and have mercy on us. Remind us that it's in those places of weakness and those places where we simply make ourselves available, Lord, that you are strong, that you lead and guide and direct our steps as we seek to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell Archippus, this is verse 17, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Archippus, for whatever reason, is being singled out here, and I always think of that as kind of both awkward and awesome, right? It's both awkward and awesome. It seems that in some ways, Archippus was stalling out, he was burning out, feeling like he was at the end. And again, I don't know what that might look like for you today, but just feeling like maybe nothing left to give. Moving into this season just feels, again, overwhelming, and right, I'm worn out, I'm distraught, been trying really, really hard, and just feel like I can't do it anymore. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. If that's not you, maybe certainly somebody that you know, family, friend, neighbor, let's pray together. God, each one of us at times, we I imagine, feel like giving up and giving in. We're tired, worn out. Often even one more step feels like it's just too much. And so, as we also sang, come Holy Spirit. Come into those places where we feel burdened and weary, where we maybe feel troubled, not sure how or if we can go on. And so, God, as we enter into this season when We celebrate your coming into this world, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, I would ask that you would renew us and restore us. As we wait on you, may we indeed mount up with wings like eagles, that we would run and not be weary, that we might walk and not faint. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And then verse 18, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. And then he says, grace be with you. Grace be with you. And as we close, Paul writes, I can imagine sort of a paraphrase to this maybe would be something like, hey guys, we've talked about Tychicus and Aristarchus, and we've talked about Mark and Epaphras and Nympha. But I also need to tell you about me. Right? As I write this with my own hand, I need you to remember me. Right? I need you to remember I'm in chains. I need you to remember me. I'm here in prison. I'm locked up. And it's really, really hard. It's really, really hard. And notice he doesn't say it'd be nice to get out of jail, get out of the handcuffs. He doesn't say come in and rescue me. Right? He simply says, remember my chains. In other words, remember my story. And then he says, grace be with you. And I think in a way that Paul is reminding us, and especially during this season, Paul is reminding us that each one of us needs each one of us. Right at the very heart of this season, yes, Jesus, absolutely. The heart of this season is relationships. Right? It's the significance of community together. Right? Whatever it is that you are facing, whatever it is that, whether it be the loneliness or the pressure or the sadness, right? In the midst of that, the significance that is found in community, and it comes by the way of grace. Right? Paul says, I'm here with you, and so is God's grace. Jody Hills, author of An Imperfect Life, she wrote a beautiful sentiment to this. For those in that place of feeling tired and worn out, overwhelmed, in need of encouragement. And she writes, grace sat with me until I could walk in it again. Grace sat with me until I could walk in it again. Right, it's a picture of you and me, right, in that place of exhaustion, and there is grace. Right, grace sitting with us until we can walk in it again. And so I want to invite Roger to come up and end with a closing song, but one last prayer as we do. I don't know exactly what speaks to you this morning, what part resonates with you, but as we go into this season, know that grace is with you, right? Grace is right there with you, waiting until you are ready. And so God, for each one here today, each one for whom the stuff of life, it seems a bit much, a bit overwhelming, for each one who feels discouraged, each one who is experiencing the loneliness, the pressure, maybe it's the sadness, troubled, uncertain, insecure, we ask, Lord, again, for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that we might rest and rest well in your grace. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.